Are you happy in your business? Now, I have had my share of emotional ups and downs in my 20 years of being a solo entrepreneur coach. And the patterns I've seen in myself and in my clients is that those downs are usually when I was personally feeling unfulfilled. Sometimes it was because a launch that flopped, and sometimes it was just life and had nothing to do with business. But those ups, oh boy, those are the times when I was feeling my most authentic and completely aligned to my purpose, or when I just felt like I was rocking that work-life balance. I would be thinking, I could do this all day long and never feel tired. One of my loves is sharing what works for me and what has been working for my clients to achieve this very feeling, full of passion, happiness, peace, and freedom. So I decided to create a private podcast for coaches. Maybe you just want to develop better communication skills that boosts engagement, leads to better results, and makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the lives of the people you serve. Then you're invited too. We talk about this and more in the UBU private podcast for coaches. Whether you're a mentor, a parent, or run a client-focused business, coaching skills benefit everyone and anyone who wants to communicate in a way that builds relationships. Fall in love with your life and business again. Click the link in the show notes for your invitation to join us right now. Then come back and enjoy this episode.
At the age of 20, I moved to America, transplanted, I say to myself, because I knew I didn't want a life that was the continuation of what I had. Somehow, something in me clicked and I got really brave and made the transition and made it without really knowing what it is that I wanted. It culminated in me really struggling in my emotions and me telling myself, you know what, this is crippling. I can't live this way.
It's time to stop comparing yourself to others and plug in to what is uniquely you. Welcome to Unbox Your Personality, the podcast for coaches, parents, and mentors like you who understand that your happiness makes you more effective at what you do, bringing out the best in others. I'm Jen Higgins, personality strategist and Enneagram fluff remover. Get laser focused on who you are and who you aren't, so you're free to make the impact you were born to make. And have fun doing it. Your personality is your business. So let's get down to business. Welcome to the show, Jen Jeunesaint. Did I say it right?
You did.
In my little country twang, I'm trying to speak French here. I'm so happy to welcome you to the podcast. Can you go ahead and start with telling the listeners who Jen is and what you're about, what you believe in, and how you serve other people?
I am, first of all, a God lover. I have a husband of one and a tween who's bigger and stronger than I am, but he lights up my world. And I am a certified money and life coach, helping people to gain control over their life and money to leave a legacy for generations to come and make global impact for sustainable change. In other words, I help people. That's really what I do. My passion and my heart is to help people. That's the short end of it.
Wow. And that's really what we're all put on this earth for, right?
Correct.
Yes. Now, I love your story because it's so rich. Can you, well, first of all, you identify as which Enneagram type?
I identify as a seven.
As a seven.
Enneagram.
Yep. Yes. Just like me, sevens, woot, woot. Now, I would love for you to kind of share your journey about being a seven, because we met online, but we've been virtual online friends for a while now. Maybe a year, maybe by now.
Yes, a year, over a year.
I think so. And I know that we've had online conversations, and there have been moments where I've questioned, is Jen really a seven? Not Jen me, but Jen Jeunesaint. Is she really a seven? And so I would love for the listeners to be able to hear your journey of how you have unboxed your personality.
Yeah, my journey is interesting. When I look back at my journey, I'm also amazed at, how I've evolved. I say evolved because I think, growth embodies painful situations that we don't sit in, but we grow out of and continue to grow. That's really my heart and my life, is because I can't take someone where I haven't been myself. That's really the goal. So I grew up in the island of Trinidad, a small Caribbean islands in South America. And I was the fourth out of five children. Very shy, very introverted, felt invisible, just didn't find a place in my family. Very vocal family, I was not. I endured a lot of very painful experiences, really based from my perspective. Nothing harmful or hurtful from the outside. It's really my inner journey was filled with insecure narratives, a lot of low self-esteem, a lot of things that I struggled with and told no one about. And so that looked like a lot of anxiety, on internal anxiety that led to other things that I had to get help for. At the same time, all of these emotions were inside of me. I didn't have anyone to share with. My older sister was probably the person who really got me the most. But at the same time, I really had to understand who I was, and I didn't know how to do that. Like, nobody really understood how to help me. And so I was this wallflower of a person, just trying to hold it together, literally hold it together through school. I was afraid of everything. I had fears and worries and anxieties, and I mean, all of it. Just there were so many things in me. At the age of 20, I moved to America, transplanted, I say to myself, because I knew I didn't want a life that was the continuation of what I had. I knew that something had to change, and I somehow something in me clicked, and I got really brave and made the transition and made it without really knowing what it is that I wanted at that time. I mean, at 20, really, what do you know? Over time, I've had a lot of big T and small T trauma throughout my life. I mean, anybody who's, in there, knows that, you can't live without some trauma in your life, right? So I had big T, small T, and it culminated in me really struggling in my emotions and me telling myself, you know what, this is crippling. I can't live this way. And so over the years, I got into what I call internal family systems therapy, which is one of the therapies I really endorse and love, because it really deals with the inside of you, the parts of us that show up that really are set in early childhood, and we really bring those parts of us with us as an adult. And so I got a really good therapist who knew what she was doing, had different modalities as well, not just IFS. And she and I worked hard. I worked hard. She didn't. I worked really hard to try to reconcile the parts of me that were just split. I felt all over the place. I really had to go back and do a lot of that internal work, which was scary and at the same time so refreshing, because I realized, you know what, I'm not crazy. Like, these are things that really are inside of me, and it's okay. None of them had bad intentions. All of the parts of me had good intentions. They just were extreme. And I had to begin to do the work. It was work to try to begin to help those parts to recognize that now I'm grown up. Like, I have resources, I have tools, I'm accomplished, I'm successful. And they don't have to respond in those negative ways. So I had some money issues that I was dealing with as well. I don't know if you know this, but I was a shopaholic. That's why I can actually coach people. I've been there, done that, right? I made a lot of stupid mistakes with money, with zeros at the end of them. And there was a lot of shame around it, right? And so I had to pivot 400 times, made 400 iterations of how I saw myself, what I bring to the world, and recognizing that those parts were stuck in what we call an exile state. They were exiled. I mean, I pushed them away for so many years. On top of that, I had many small T trauma, my brother dying very, very tragically. And when I went to a grief program, and the grief person kept saying, sit in your grief. And I'm like, there is no way. This is way too painful for me to do that. I was so scared because I never thought I would get out of cr stop crying. I never thought I would be able to evolve into a person who can now sit with others in their grief. But what I know now is that those experiences weren't wasted. Those experiences I had actually helped me to be a better coach, helped me to have a better heart that understood where people are, and not just give pat answers or advice, or just, scripture, but really sit with people and just listen. Because somebody did that for me, and that's where healing took place. I had to begin to sit in my grief, which was, by the way, the hardest part, because I loved my brother dearly. And I didn't, no one else died in my family. This was the first death. So for me, it was the most painful of everything that I've ever experienced. Besides other things that happened in my life, that was difficult. But I think the sadness part, I liken this movie, Inside Out, because I use that a lot, because that story depicts of all the parts, the seven parts, and I love the seven because she's so, but she in that movie really had to sit with sad, and it was okay. She didn't die. For me, when I was sitting in sad, I felt like I'm never gonna get out of that sadness. It would take me down. And I never wanted to be boxed in. I never wanted to be boxed in because I felt like, oh my goodness, I'm going to die. When I did, when I sat in my sadness, that's when the dam broke. And I said, oh, I'm emerging as this butterfly. I emerged, with the coaching, with the therapy, with the multiple therapies, with the multiple coaching, with people who would begin to expose some of those things that I was beginning to push aside, like, a lot of the shame I have. A shame-based foundation that I took upon myself, really took upon myself because I didn't feel value or special or important. Those were narratives I was telling myself. No one told me it. That's the perception, that limiting beliefs that I built a wall around me. And when I began to do the work of beginning to look at those past narratives, I was like, oh my goodness, this is a lie. Been telling myself a lie all these years. No one told me this. I believed it, I perceived it, and I actually lived it. And so what I had to do is begin to unpack them one at a time, those parts, one at a time, one at a time. And it took a lot of time, it took a lot of work, and I'm still growing today. I love the growth that I see because when I look back, I am not the person that I used to be. And if anybody knew me as a child, they knew, wow, this is a person who have done the work. You don't just transform. That I know. You got to do the work and you got to have accountability. I've had a lot of accountability. I call them my mentors who hold me accountable in every area of my life. And so I think having those mentors, having, therapy is, there's nothing wrong with it. Having coaching, I think it's helpful as you get healthier, you can get a coach, because you can't coach when, you can't coach someone who's sort of in crisis. And so, so I had those layers or scaffolding layers of healing growth in my life so that I can then help someone now and not feel ashamed of where I was because that's not where I am anymore. So that's under my journey in a nutshell.
Wow. So powerful and so beautifully said. And I'm terribly sorry about your brother. I wonder sometimes, as a seven, who we tend to, I'm a seven also, we tend to downplay our grief sometimes. And you called that a little T trauma, whereas lots of people would call that a big T trauma. And the reason why I bring that up is because I have a son who was diagnosed with autism at age 4. And for many years, I tried to downplay it and not deal with it. And then I realized this is a huge, this is something huge. And I should be grieving. I should be grieving this loss of what I thought motherhood was going to look like. And it doesn't anymore. So I'm not sure what my point was, other than sometimes what we see as pain is really painful. And to be able to sit in that and heal from it is a really big deal for a
It
seven.
was huge. It was, I consider it a big T, but compared to the other things that I had to, what I went through, this was another big T. I've had major big Ts, and this was certainly one of them because this was the first death that I was personally acquainted with. And so I didn't know what to do with myself. I didn't know what to do with my tears. I didn't know what to do with my whole life. I didn't know. I didn't, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And this was big. This was huge. I never thought I would go a day without crying for him. But over time does not heal, by the way, because I still love my brother and I miss him dearly. But at the end of the day, I use this as a way to understand when I sit next to someone who's grieving. It's not like I'm just going to throw a scripture at them. I've been there. I know exactly how you're feeling. And it's hard, but we don't have to grieve alone. And B, we're going to come out of it. Like it's you just sit there. I remember one day crying in my car, coming from a grief class. I mean, just snorting, bawling. And I called my grief mentor at the time. And she said, just sit in it. Mm-hmm. Don't run away. Just sit in it. And that was the hardest to sit in that. There was physiological changes in my body that I had to do that. And that was hard, but guess what? I didn't die. Right. and in fact, you know, as a 7, you know, running from pain, I remember before that I had to sit in it, I'd find myself eating like a whole box of cookies or pint of ice cream, right? Soothing the pain, right? Mm-hmm. Thinking that it would go away. And I did that for a while. And that's not me, because I'm, you know, I run and I do all that kind of stuff. So I was going back to that unhealthy place of soothing myself, right? And that wasn't the answer. I did that for maybe a couple of days. And I was like, no, this is not me. But, you know, everyone deals with sadness differently. But I know 7s, you know, my mother's a 7. And she loves to sort of, and that's, you know, I think I'm like her. I don't look like her, but I have her personality. And so growing up, I just thought she was very happy. And, you know, she was just always trying to turn things around and never wanting to be sad. And I'm like, that's interesting. Why would you not want to be sad? I asked her now as an adult, I interview her and I said, it's okay to be sad. You know, she's like, I don't like to feel sad. So I know she's a 7 for sure. I think. Don't quote me.
There are other types that also don't like to be sad.
Okay.
For the record, 3s, 7s, and 8s have a really hard time with negative feelings for different reasons, of course.
Okay.
But I want to go back to something that you said that intrigued me. You said that there had to be some physiological changes that had to happen in order for you to sit still. Can you expand on that?
Well, I think what I meant was when I sat in the sadness, I felt in my body lots of things going on. Lots of changes in my body, which is actually what we run from, is the sensations in our body. That's a lot of somatic work that I had to do. In fact, my therapist is an internal family systems somatic therapist. So a lot of the feelings we get is sensations. Mm-hmm. And they're not good or bad, right or wrong. They're just sensations. If we sit in them long enough, they're going to subside, but we have to begin to understand the purposes for them. Right? People don't like to feel differently. Nobody likes change. And nobody wants to feel uncomfortable.
Right.
And when I did that, over time, it didn't happen right away, but over time, that physiological change in my body that just felt, ew, you know, it felt like, I don't know how to describe it, but it just was a feeling in my body. And that's a somatic work that I had to do with another actually my money coach who really, she was versed in somatic and money. And she, I needed that. Like I needed the both of them. Right. Because nobody says, I want to feel really uncomfortable right now. And I don't want to run away. Like nobody wants to do that. Right. That's what was happening in my body. But guess what? It didn't go away right away. Mm-hmm. I had to begin to practice that. And that's some of the work that I've done with my IVS therapist. And what we did is we had to recognize that those parts just needed my attention. That's mm-hmm. all it is. They just need my attention. So I had to begin to cultivate a relationship with my inner parts and begin to unpack them in a way that they felt safe. And when I did that, because I had some parts that were really angry. I mean, I could look back at my notes. Some of them were like a monsters. And I had, she had me doing a lot of descriptive work, mm-hmm. a lot of, art therapy, a lot of them, because I push things down so much so that they took on figures of themselves. So there was monsters and there were fireballs and they were, you know, I look back and I'm like, who's this crazy woman? And there were so many things and I'm like, oh my goodness. But that didn't show up on the outside. On the outside was a very compliant child, but inside was a very, very hurt, angry person. So I had to unpack that and begin to recognize that those parts, all of them had good intention, all of them, and begin to have a relationship with those parts. Now I begin to work with them to a place where they don't get extreme anymore, because I used to be very extreme. And so, you know, I would say, oh my goodness, I can't believe she, you know, that happened. Well, because of the pushing down of all of the, you can't push a balloon down in water. Do you know what happens when you move your hand, right? That's what happens when we push things down. And I didn't realize that until I had therapy. I just didn't know. I mean, that's what I saw. That's what I knew.
Are you feeling a bit disappointed that you haven't finished that project yet? Are the kids' schedules impacting your business? Or are the demands of your business affecting your relationships at home? Maybe you need a magic formula for that work-life balance before your fire gets so dim or it completely burns out. I've been there. There was a point in my life where I was juggling two businesses and homeschooling and had personal health issues. There was barely time to even connect with myself, much less connect with my husband. When I was finally officially diagnosed with ADHD, I felt like that explained everything. I had a new perspective and started approaching things in a new way. So I created a guide containing 20 tips that I personally use, and they have worked for me for helping me stay on course with my goals. Now, you might not have ADHD, but I bet you can relate to having a million distractions during the day. So if you're ready to stop procrastinating or stop being hard on yourself for missing yet another deadline, self-imposed or not, go ahead and download the guide at powercoachjen.com. If you just find one tip from the list that helps you move forward today, you will be so glad you took the time to read it. Go to powercoachjen.com and download the guide right now. I love that you talked about practicing feeling that in your body, because that is a part of, you know, I teach a core framework, C-O-R-E, and C stands for check yourself. And what I really mean is pay attention to what's going on in your body, just like what you said. And this is a huge testament of why coaches need coaches, why parents need coaches, why teachers need coaches, because we need to for someone to hold that mirror up to us and say, dig deeper.
Yes.
Dig deeper. Yes. Why is this happening? Dig deeper. And what you said, that positive intention, the purpose of something, you know, it's kind of like that Newton's law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Every time you think that something has a negative purpose, there is also a positive intention of that.
Yes.
Situation as well. And that's what coaches bring out of us.
Yes.
Even me. Yes. I need somebody to bring that out of me and to remind me that, okay, there's a purpose to this. I may not know what it is because I'm too afraid to dig right now because I don't want to get trapped in any kind of negative feelings.
Right.
And so sometimes that's a good strategy for a seven. Just knowing that there's an intention. If you're in a position that you can't sit still, but you're not going to heal until you sit still and grieve it and process.
Yes.
And then are able to, when you process that grief, that's why you can sit with other people who are in grief and not get triggered.
That's right.
Because you're speaking from a scar and not from a scab that's just going to get picked off.
That's right. Yeah. That's, I love that. I love when you said that, because I literally, you know, there's this, it's just a quote that's going around that says, you're gonna bleed over everyone you didn't cut. You know, it's almost like if you didn't deal with your stuff, you're gonna bleed over everyone because you didn't take care of your wound.
Yeah.
You know, take care of your wound, because we all have them, by the way. Mm-hmm. You know, and my attachment style is, you know, I doing a lot of work around adult attachment, and my attachment style, you know, used to be insecure. Now I'm working towards a secure attachment. There's the avoider attachment and all these other different styles, but for me, that attachment style is the key because you have a relationship with yourself. People think they're disconnected from themselves, but you have a relationship with yourself. And so work on those internal things that are keeping you up at night or having you restless. That's the beauty of doing inner journey work. It's the beauty of doing it. It's not scary, people. It is actually fantastic. And you come out of that not better than anyone else, but truly grateful for the experience, because then you can take care of yourself and then take care of others. You can't take care of others if you don't haven't taken care of yourself. I mean, I have a focus planner that helps me to focus, and I have a big three in there. Big three rocks, first thing. One of the things that's in there is self-care. I don't care what else gets done. My self-care is the key, because if I'm not filled up, or if I'm not in that place of harmony with self parts, I am not good to anyone. So my coach years ago, she had me write these sticky notes all around my house, scan my body for the sensations. I still have it. My son said, "Mom, why do you have all those pink notes all over the house?" I said, "So I can remember what to do." And I had to do that for years, right? Now it's like, it's not a big deal. You know, a box breathing, it's not a big deal. I have all these different things that I do. But initially, when you first start the journey, you may have to have stickers all over your house. That's just me. I'm a visual person. But over time, it becomes like a habit. It's a habit goal that I had, that I created. But if you don't start the journey, you won't grow. That's just the bottom line. I was wanted to say this quote from somebody that's listening today. He said, "We can't repurpose what we don't process." In other words, you can't use your pain into purpose unless you process it, right? I love that. And we can't process what we don't own. We can't own what we don't name. And I love it, because unless you name that, what are you saying? Like, how are you feeling even? You know, the feelings is a big deal for people. My family use a list of soul words that we use around feelings, because it's sad, mad, angry. Those are general words, but we get down into the shame. We get down into those other words of that meaning, and we circle. Sometimes we can't even say it. We just circle how we're feeling, one to the other. And that's the internal work that has to be done for you to really get to know yourself and then others.
Yes, I love that you said that and you brought that up. If you took my Stop Getting Triggered challenge last year, that was one of the exercises, was labeling your emotions. And I have a course that's coming up. It's called The Whole Enneagram. And
Nice.
look at step two. What does that say? It says,
Whoa,
name
name
it.
your desire.
Name
Oh,
your desires and fears.
that's
So
awesome.
absolutely, you have to be able to label things.
That's right.
You don't have to label yourself.
Right.
But you do have to be able to label your desires and your fears and those feelings and those sensations,
Yes.
like you were talking about, so you can recognize them, because we can be
Correct.
so blind to them if we don't name them.
Yes. And Brené Brown, she's one of the people that I follow, and she talks about vulnerability. And I think a big part of why we don't do that is because we're being vulnerable. Like, who wants to be vulnerable? Right? Who wants to share how ashamed they are of that they don't know something? Or who wants to say that? Like, nope,
Me. No.
me. But
Nobody.
you do it in order to build better relationships with self and others. I keep saying that because we do have a relationship with ourselves.
That's so true, that we build better relationships and connections through vulnerability. I,
Yes.
for years, stopped talking about my son's autism. We didn't even use the word. Sometimes I try to forget that's a label that was ever used in our home.
Right.
But in a course that I was taking, called Craft Your Story, I talked about it in a previous episode. I finally told that story, and I have created lasting bonds with other classmates of mine because I shared that story.
Nice,
It was a
nice.
story that, and it wasn't that I was ashamed of it. It was just something that I didn't think anybody cared. Like, I didn't want to bring anybody down. It was a painful time in my life that I have healed from and I've moved on. I didn't
Yay.
think I needed to bring it up again. And I'm
Right.
learning that, no, I need to repurpose that. I need to
That's right.
repurpose that pain
Yes.
and use it to connect with others
Yes.
and help them heal.
Correct. I think a big part of it, I'm so glad you shared that. A big part of it is it's our why. What is our motivation? Like, what is my motivation for helping others? It's not to make myself great or big. It's really for transformation. Like my whole program, 7 Tiny Steps, it's really about transformation. Along the way, people get more money or they get out of debt. That's great. But if you are not transformed, then my program is in vain, honestly. And one of the things you have to transform is your inner self. You cannot, you, if you transform just the outside, that's great and it's wonderful. But I really believe in the inner journey. I loved when you shared about, you're going to a group with your son. I remember going to this grief 13-week course and with the death of my brother. And the facilitators asked us to write a letter and send it out to all of our friends and family about how we were really feeling. And I stalled for a long time. I finally wrote that letter. And I'm telling you, when I pressed the button send, I just put my through my eyes, thinking that people would be like, oh my goodness, what is she? This is my narrative, right? So dramatic. I mean, it was, I poured my heart out in that letter and really shared how I was feeling, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I cannot begin to tell you how many people wrote back to me and talk about their own grief. People that I would have never expected, like people got it and they thanked me for doing it. I was brave at that, and I had to read it in front of the whole group. Like a lot of people didn't do it, but I said, you know what? I'm going to get past this. I have to. I so wanted to be free. And I did it afraid. And I think that is what broke the shame, the all of it that was hanging over my head. It set me free. It set me free. And it's amazing how when we hesitate to do something, it's because of those feelings, right? Those vulnerabilities, like you shared with your group. Because I saw people in that group, they were grieving 30 years later because they never wanted to, they pushed it down and they came back 30 years later because they were still carrying that grief. I'm motivated by other people's pain. I don't have to do something twice, like I said to my husband, just once. I just need to do something once to learn a lesson. So I looked at those people, not down at them. I said, I don't want to be that. I want to be free. I want to be transformed so that I can help other people. And that's what happened in that class. So I love your story because I could identify with pieces of it. Oh, it's not the same, but that's it. You just have to be vulnerable.
Yeah. And, as a seven, we think we're going to get trapped in the emotion, but it's
Yes.
actually the very thing that sets us free.
That's right. That's right. That's right. But if you avoid it, minimize it, rationalize it, deny it, it's not going to go away. It just shows up in a different situation. It
Exactly.
just shows up differently. A feeling never dies. It just surfaces eventually in a different way.
Yes.
And sevens can heal.
Well, I hope everybody has been inspired by Jen Inspiring Coach and really have learned from how integrated, you're just so integrated, Jen. One of the more integrated sevens I've ever spoken with. And so this has been a real treat for me as a fellow seven and being inspired by you. Would you
Yay.
mind sharing with the listeners how they can find you online?
Sure. It's Jen Inspiring Coach, just like my business name. They can find me on Facebook and Instagram as well. I have a ebook from frazzled to free, financially frazzled to free. I'm giving away to everyone who hops on my website. I have tons of free stuff on there as well. Hop on and just say hi. Excited to help people transform their lives to leave a lasting legacy for generations.
Thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you, my fellow seven. Could I say sevener? Is that a word, sevener?
Sevener. Sure, we're good at coining
Sure,
words.
why not? Yes, thank you so much for your program. I hop on there and I look at you and I said, whoa, she's doing great things. And I'm always fascinated by so many things, visuals, and I love visuals as well. So I'm excited every time I see a post from you, I hop on and check it out.
Oh, I thank you. I appreciate your friendship too.
Yes, this was fun. I had fun. All right, thanks,
So,
Jen. I appreciate your time.
bye-bye.
Take care. All right, be well.
Now you know better that if you get two sevens together, that's not the end of the conversation. So be sure to check out the after party where Jen and I talk about wings and stress and health, and she teaches me a little bit about self-care and mindfulness. And for you Enneagram fans, we do talk about ones, fives, threes, and sevens. Go check it out.
Thank you for listening, subscribing, and reviewing the Unbox Your Personality podcast. To learn more about yourself, go to powercoachjen.com. Find out how you are different so you can make your difference.